Well, not only did we get a good laugh out of filet mignon, thanks, Jim. I will never forget that because you know you hear Philemon, Philemon, filet mignon, and now that will be in my head. I'll hear the sizzle. Like Carol came up to me and said, you know, the Lord would put on her heart earlier before this happened that we need to laugh more. We need to take ourselves a little less seriously because as it says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so take joy. I love when moments like that happen. Because there's a great sense of humor that we miss. We get so serious about our relationship with the Lord and the things that he says or doing church that we forget that Jesus was a man. And he sat and drank and ate with the disciples and he laughed with them. And there's sarcasm in scripture. You just have to find it and read it and see it there. A lot of times when you're hearing the parables, he's wanting to go, do you get it? There's irony there. And this morning we hear a little bit of that in that Jesus is saying, very seriously, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you have no part of me. Unless you leave your mother, hate, he uses. Ooh, hate. Your mother and brother and father and, you know. What perspective is he trying to get to? Because in the context, in the larger context, he's talking about repentance. He's talking about unless you turn your life around, you have no part of me. That's the point that he's trying to get to. Don't let anything be a distraction. So what would your final words be? To those that you love, what do you want to say? What do you want to have said about you? The things that get repeated about you. In your life, what is the legacy that you leave behind? Most of us go, oh, I hope they don't remember. Or, oh, boy, I wish I had, right? But you can. Because right now, people remember the present. They put you through the filters that they have currently. They see the growth that you've gone through. They know the you that you've become, not the you that you were. You're the one that plays the old tapes. And God, when he gives you forgiveness, he takes those old tapes and he throws them away. And we often go back to the Lord and say, Lord, do you remember? Do you remember? And he's like, sorry. Corey Ten Boom, you've heard me say before, she in the hiding place, she talked about how she had to thank the Lord for the fleas. Not that the Lord told her, thank me for the fleas, but she thanked the Lord for the fleas because it was because of the flea infestation. It kept the German soldiers out of their barracks. It was so bad the German soldiers didn't want to go into their barracks. But because of that, they got to study the word. And when they were drenched in the word, they had nothing to fear, for God was with them. They had the blessing of God. How do you have the blessing of God when you have open sores, when you're sleeping, tons of people stacked on each other, there's human excrement everywhere? How do you live that way? Well, you know what the perspective is. He's allowed you to live today, to praise his name, and to be thankful for what eventually ended up being a life that could proclaim him and have all of those things that were stolen restored. Did everybody experience that? No. She watched as thousands died. She watched as thousands were sacrificed. But she proclaimed a word that was so solid, so foundational for you and I that we should want it, right? We should want to know that our security in Jesus is such that live or die, we're okay. Don't you want to be there? Good economy, bad economy, we're okay. You know, good health, bad health, we're okay. We're in the Lord's hands. So when he decides to take us home, we go, all right. I'm always sort of shocked and a little bit surprised, but I have gotten to the place where it doesn't shock me anymore because I'm waiting for it to be said when I visit my mother and she says, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready. There's nothing here for me anymore. And doesn't mean that I don't love you guys. But what I've got coming and the fact that I could be with your father, I can't wait. And it sounds so strange to hear your mother say, I want to die. But she wants to die because she knows that what's waiting for her on the other side. Paul said the same thing, didn't he? Paul in the New Testament said, you know, if only I could be with the Lord, but I know that my job isn't finished here. Well, the lessons this morning sort of ask us the question of, you know, what needs to be said. There were two words that were said that were pivotal in a movie that was recently within the last 10 years. I think it was 2010. Sandra Bullock did the movie, The Blind Side. The movie was about a family who had Christian values, and they came upon this homeless man, and by chance they had the opportunity to speak into his life, to help him reach what God had already planted in him. Michael Orr not only dodged the hopelessness and the dysfunction of a city life that he grew up, the inner city, but became the first round NFL draft for the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. At a recent fundraiser, one of the members of the family, Sean Tui, noted that the transformation of his family and Michael all started with two words. They were spotted walking down the road. They saw Michael walking down the road on a cold November morning, and the movie depicts it at nighttime, and he's in shorts and a t-shirt, right? And it's a freezing night. And Leanne Tui utters these two words that changed the world. She told Sean, "Turn around." Two words that change our world. Turn around. That's what our relationship with God is constantly being called to. Turn around. Leave the distractions behind. Face the Lord instead of being caught up in all of this stuff. He'll let all of that stuff sort out. But turn around. Well, we hear that today in the Old Testament lesson, one of my favorite passages. Moses is about to pass the torch. He's going to pass it on to Joshua. And we all know Joshua's call. Joshua's call was very different. Here was a warrior versus a pastor father of a nation. Moses was passing the torch down, and he's about to go, and he speaks these words. So, Israel, do you want blessings or curses? It's your choice today. Blessings or curses. If you want to be blessed, then follow the law. He never says your salvation is received by the law, because they spoke of the father Abraham as receiving his salvation through faith. Yes, he cut a covenant. But it was... he was given salvation because of his faith in God, not because he was able to keep all the laws. Frankly, Paul makes that clear, that there was only one that could, and that was Jesus. So get over yourselves. All right? Can you do that this morning? Can you let God? I was about to say, and the Lord corrected me just now, I was about to say, can you forgive yourself? We have so much practice, and so many psychologists who've written thousands of books that have been bought up and eaten up and we think are so wonderful. They say, oh, you need to learn to forgive yourself. No, you need to let God forgive you. The Father of the universe, the creator of all things, has said to you, you know what? All that stuff doesn't matter. Who you are and who I've made you to be, who you're going to be, the power that I've placed inside of you, the access that you have to my kingdom and all of its resources, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit that will come of it. Your abilities are endless. So I give you a choice. All of that or curses. If you choose to continue to be mixed up in what's going on in the land, and Moses knew what was going on in the land, they were going through countries, and, you know, for us, we get on a plane and we go, oh, let's go to Turkey. You know, let's go to Thailand. I was there to visit my friend Jan 2 years ago. It's not a problem for us. But for them, in a sort of nomadic lifestyle, it took time to get from one place to another. Sometimes they settled in regions before they could actually move in the next year or so to where they were headed to. And so as they were there, you got to know the culture that you were with, the people that you were with. Kristen and I are still feeling like we're a little bit out of sorts trying to figure out what Ohioans are like, you know? And what the heck is a Buckeye? Just kidding. I know it's a useless nut. Oh, just kidding. I'm actually becoming a Buckeye fan, so there's grace for me somewhere there. What God wanted to promise in the passage just before this in Deuteronomy was he promised that he was the God who said, I will restore your land. If you are obedient, if you love me, if you pour yourself out, and if you will just repent and turn around, I'll be the one to restore your land. So when we hear these words from the passage that was read this morning, from Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 15, that's the context from which it's read. Seed that I've set before you today. Life and good, death and evil. How final is death to you? For most of us, we go, I don't want to die. I'm afraid of it. I used to be afraid of the dark because when my grandfather died and I was a little boy, I thought, well, I don't know what that darkness is. I don't know what that change brings. It's the fear of the unknown. But the more that I know Jesus, the more I have no fear. Because to die is gain, right? To live is Christ. To die is gain. To die is for us to be in a place where we're fully in his hands. Right now, we only get to see as in a mirror, dimly. But one day, we'll see, as we say in our liturgy every Sunday, we'll see face to face. That's right. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish if anyone turns away and does not hear. You will live long in the land if you're hearing and you're doing my word. If you're going over to the Jerusalem, you're going to possess that land. I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. It's a choice. It's a choice for you today. So when we hear the psalmist talk to us out of the very first psalm in the Bible, we hear these words. Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of idiots. People will give you lots of advice. People in this room will give you lots of advice. And they mean well. But you all are flesh. And forgive me if I don't always take the advice that you give me as your pastor. But somebody trumps you. And when I listen to him, I get it right. When I don't listen to him, sometimes I get it right. But it's not always as freeing as it is when I listen to him. Blessed is the man who's not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When was the last time you just, I think of these guys on Survivor or these strange shows like Naked and Afraid or, you know, whatever they put on TV. It's craziness. But when you think about what it's like to eat a sandwich after they've been in the woods for 3 weeks or a month or 3 months. It's just so good. And they're not exaggerating. It's just so exciting to taste every taste and to have every morsel. It's like, you know, you go, oh, you smell bacon from a distance, right? And you're like, oh, thank God I'm not a Jew. I'm kidding. No offense meant there. But there are some things that just sort of spark in us this hunger and this desire. And I really haven't ever thought about God's word that way. But we're encouraged to read, mark, and inwardly digest his word. How does it become a part of us? How does it become alive in us? And Jesus challenges us like he challenges the disciples today. He said, if you want to be my disciple, then you got to die to everything that means something to you. Everything has to go away. But I love Kristen. I can't imagine life without her. Nope, she's mine. But I love fishing. I love golf. I love painting. I love gadgets, Lord. Mine. I don't want them to be a distraction. Because when I'm the focus, then all of those things fall into the place that they need to be in their best priority. When I'm the focus, you know how to have a covenant love that carries out your marriage the way it should. When I'm the focus, all of those gadgets are used as stewardship in the kingdom for my purposes. They're not bad. Solomon, if you look at Solomon in all of his glory, was extolled in Scripture. He had gold and he had concubines, things that we wouldn't, you know, have in our current culture. But he had all sorts of blessings that went with the culture at the time that were far above anything anybody could imagine. But his focus was on the Lord. He asked the Lord to give him wisdom, and he got it. So when we hear Jesus' words to his disciples, and we hear him challenging them to let everything go for the sake of the kingdom, we have to hear him say that what he wants to give us is the fullness of his presence and his blessing. So how do we get there? What's the discipline? Do you have time to make space for God? Do you have time to make more space for God? Some of you are very good at it. And sometimes that being very good at being disciplined with the Lord slips into a liturgy. It slips into a religious spirit. Well, Lord, I'm always with you every morning. It's like the rich young ruler. I've kept all of these. He goes, then sell everything that you've got and come and follow me. Oh, there's the thing that has his focus. Because when he said, have you done these commandments? They were all the commandments that had to do with the individual, but not with loving the Lord. The first several commandments are just about being able to hold the Lord in his holiness and stay focused on him, right? He didn't say those things. And he says to Jesus, well, since I was a boy, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stolen. I haven't coveted, you know, my neighbor's goods. What more could you ask for? He goes, take that distraction away. Come and follow me. Sell everything you've got. How did he respond? I'm not sure I can do that. Now, if we were literalists, we would say, okay, the Lord wants us today to join the cult of St. Luke's, and we're going to give up everything that we have in our resources, and we're going to have one big commune and one big bank account. No, that's not what the Lord is saying. He's saying, for that man, at that time, that was the distraction that needed to be dealt with. What is the Lord asking you to deal with today? Where's the distraction? It becomes clear when you soak yourself in his word. The things that are a distraction, the things that we need to be obedient to, are there. But they become clearer when we realize that we haven't made God first. So, my friend Jan taught this very simply, and it was revolutionary for us. And I pray that it will be revolutionary for you. I'm not going to go through all the details, but it just simply says, find a time during the day where you can choose a space without distraction. Go in your bedroom and leave your cell phone in the kitchen. Set a time. Make sure that you have a place that there's nothing there that can distract you. No TV on, no radio playing. Just make sure that you have a clean place with the Lord and you have a place to take notes. Have your Bible there. Write the date. Open the book to a chapter that you want to be studying. Write the headings: general, specific, command, promise, principle, and behavior. And you put those things down on a page with space in between them so that the Lord can help you take notes, because he's going to prompt you as you read this word. And you pray, and you start to proclaim who God is. Start with worship. Don't start reading, oh, I'm going to get right to it, God, because I'm so good at reading your word. No. Get good at focusing on me first. So you start with prayer and praise and joy. Let it soak you. And then when you open the word, you read the first time through the chapter. Read a whole chapter. First time through the chapter, you get the general meaning. Next time, the specific meaning. The third time, read it in a different translation if you can. If you have it on your phone, you can get 1,000 translations. Continue to write and record the things that fit under each of those headings. What's the command that's here to follow? Jesus in his word today in the New Testament was, take up your cross. What's the cross that you have to bear? He's telling you that you have to take your cross up and follow him, that you have to leave behind any of the distractions. What's the promise in the word? What's the promise? His presence will be with you. His blessing will be upon you. What's the principle? Sometimes these things are inferred, not necessarily written out. And the promise of God is, that'd be so easy, you know, fill in the blank. And then the hardest one is that gets asked at the end of this is, what behavior is this scripture calling you to change? And what are you going to do about it? And spend some time in that, pulling that apart, meditating. How does God want me to change a behavior? What am I going to do to take baby steps to get there? Everybody seen the movie What About Bob? You know, baby steps, you know. You got to start somewhere. Don't try to take the whole thing on. It's a lesson in failure. You know, and sometimes we get to the same process over and over and over again. And you know that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. The reality is we have to take it one bite at a time, one portion at a time, and let the Lord speak to you. And end your prayer time with two words. Turn around. Lord, I repent. I lay down my unreasonable love for gadgetry. I lay down my unreasonable expectations on family and friends and circumstances. I lay down the times that I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't see the results that I'm asking for, that I can't see the results that you've given. I lay it down, and I want you to help me change this behavior. So, Moses was trying to motivate the people of God. I don't know how to motivate every single person in this room, but it matters. It matters. I think of the story of the guy who had a parrot, and he was given this parrot, and the parrot was in the cage, and the parrot often spoke aloud, and the parrot said a lot of naughty words, said it often, and said it embarrassingly with a group of people around, and he didn't know what to do, and finally he said, I'm going to fix this parrot, and he took the parrot, and he put the parrot in the freezer. And all, you know, the parrot kept talking in the freezer. Of course, you know, he's mad because he's in the freezer. And he's frustrated. And in the freezer, the parrot finally stops talking. And for fear that he killed the parrot, he opens the door. And this is what the parrot says. I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I'm sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior. Stunned that the bird would change its attitude, he began to ask the parrot, he goes, What changed? What made this dramatic change? Why are you being so kind right now? The bird just looks at him and says, may I ask what the turkey did? Here's the serious moment. You don't need to ask what the turkey did when you look to see people who are not repentant and their lives have come to an end with weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are people that you love in your family. There are people that we love in this community that we want to see changed. And the only way they're going to change is if we turn around. If we show them what it is to repent and believe, if we draw them into a relationship with Jesus, let's not let them see the turkey. Because the Lord really does have consequences. It's a choice. It's a choice. Life and good, blessings, or death and curses. And that those curses are right knocking on our doorstep all the time. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, as Paul says. Because he's covered a multitude of our sins, and he's the one who has kept the law, but he's calling you and I to be lovers of the law, saturated in his word, so that we might live a life that's free and full and blessed, not cursed. Amen? Amen. And we want that for those around us. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we come to you asking that you would motivate us. Would you motivate us to be disciplined with our daily life and worship? Would you show us how to absorb your word in a way that would make us do something about it rather than just read it and say, oh, isn't that nice? Father, change us, shape us, help the world to see you through us, and all for the sake of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.